Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya, come, I hear. I chose this beloved spiritual and this version sung by the Seekers to lead into our show today because the animal rights movement, in my opinion, is the most important social justice movement in the world today. The systematic use of power to trivialize the lives of animals, to abuse, exploit, and destroy them, sums up our behavior towards other sentient beings. In the midst of our communities, places of killing and horror exist. They're known as slaughterhouses. We drive by them hardly with a thought. Why would we? Society sanctions their existence, but a mighty social change movement has arisen, and our collective voice is saying enough. This is not right. We have to stop. A couple of years ago, in the middle of summer in downtown Toronto, a woman gave water to thirsty pigs at slaughterhouse gates. She was prosecuted for doing this. That woman was Anita Quines, and the support she received from all over the world was enormous. People changed their Facebook profiles to say, "I stand with Anita," or "Compassion is not a crime." You're with Safe and Sound. My name's Sandra Kyle, and it's my pleasure to bring you an interview with Anita that Lindley Tulloch and I recorded.
Hi, Anita. It's lovely to have you here today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You were co-founder of Toronto Pig Save. Can you tell us a little bit about why you started it?
I live near a slaughterhouse in downtown Toronto since 2006, and I thought somebody should do something about it as I saw the slaughterhouse, a streetcar. And I never went past right by it. I never thought about it except a few times a year. And then I adopted a dog, Mr. Bean, and I'd walk on Lakeshore, and we'd see the 7 to 8 transport trucks in rush hour traffic, and it was the first time I saw the pigs up close, sort of looking out with their sad and scared eyes, and that was in late 2010, and that's when the group formed.
What are the objectives of your group?
I think our goal is to have people bear witness. So that's the main strategy that we use, coupled with a community organizing approach. Bearing witness means when you see a creature suffering, don't look away, but come close and try to help them. It's different than watching a movie or seeing a photo. When you experience suffering firsthand, there's nothing like it. So, for example, myself, I became vegan after watching a film, the animal film and The Witness. But when I bore witness for the first time, it led to much further changes. Like, it made animal rights a priority in my life. And I think a lot of people who attend our vigils experience the same thing. It's an epiphany. There's nothing like witnessing an animal victim firsthand on their way to slaughter. A lot of social movements have used this strategy, and Marshall McLuhan called those type of actions media mind bombs. It's going into a site of injustice and showing the stark reality. So it's an image that can raise awareness and produce change. But the difference with what Toronto Pig Save and the Save Movement is doing is we couple it with community organizing because we want average people to experience it. It's not just a few people, you know, in a dinghy or in a yacht trying to be present at a site of justice. It's like we want the whole community to see it. The reality is that there are slaughterhouses in or near your communities. It's something that's accessible and something everyone could do. So basically our aims are to have everyone bear witness, to have vigils at every slaughterhouse, and not let any individual animal go to slaughter without some people being present. So we're only at the initial stages of this movement, but since Toronto's Pig Save started in 2010, we have about 150 groups now.
It's had an amazing impact, hasn't it? I mean, everyone's heard about it, and we'll talk about the trial in a little bit, but I'd just like to say it's very powerful what you've just said.
Anita, the slaughterhouse in your neighbourhood, they slaughter not just pigs, right?
So Toronto has 3 slaughterhouses left. So the pig slaughterhouse where Toronto Pig Save started went bankrupt in 2014. So now we do weekly vigils about 40 minutes outside Toronto, but we still have 3 remaining slaughterhouses in Toronto, 2 cow slaughterhouses and 1 chicken slaughterhouse. In Toronto, the slaughterhouses tend to slaughter 1 or 2 types of animals. So the cow slaughterhouses also slaughter sheep and occasionally goats. The chicken slaughterhouse just slaughters chickens, and the pig slaughterhouse just slaughter pigs. We started with Toronto Pig Save, doing three vigils a week, and then we added vigils at the cow slaughterhouse and chicken slaughterhouse. So presently we do one vigil a week for pigs, one for cows, and one for chickens. So we still do three a week. We stand on a traffic island where the trucks sometimes stop at a set of lights. And when the pigs are hot and thirsty, we offer them water. We touch them. They come to us and they sniff us. And we tell them we're sorry and we love them. And we document. We take photos and videos, share it with the world. With respect to the cows, they rarely take water from us because they are so terrified. Cows can smell 5 miles away, and when they approach the slaughterhouse, they're scared. Often they're scared of us, so it's very difficult often to bear witness. They hear the horrible industrial noises at the slaughterhouse and smell the blood and the entrails going into the rendering trucks and see and witness a lot of that while they're entering the area. So it is absolutely horrific. Also, the chickens, we have trouble giving them water. But the pigs generally always take the water. They suffer from heat stroke and heart attacks in the summer. We've done freedom of information requests where every day in the summer, you know, pigs are arriving dead on arrival. It's horrific to witness them, but yes. One of our inspirations, Leo Tolstoy, said that to love someone means to give them your time and strength, even if it causes you bodily harm, even if you have to give your life to the object of your love. So that's how we define love. And as animal lovers, I think we need to be present for them at slaughterhouses and to show them compassion and to tell their stories and raise awareness, because that's how the world's going to change. If we look the other way and not think about them and not think about how much they're suffering, then the status quo will remain.
Many people are aware now that pigs are highly intelligent creatures. What do you know about pig behavior and emotions that you can briefly share with us?
When you see the pigs in the trucks, they're clearly thinking individuals. They're gentle and they're kind. 6 years of vigils, I've only seen one incident where pigs were fighting with each other. By and large, they're consoling each other. The pigs in different trucks are different depending on their experience or how tired they are, but often they just come up to us. And in 6 years of vigils, they have never bitten anyone because they know we're their friends. So they're very smart. Right away, they can tell that we're their friends, despite the history of what they've experienced. I learned a lot more about who pigs are when I went to sanctuaries, you know, and met Esther the Wonder Pig.
Oh, you met her?
Yes, I met her a few times. I met her for her birthdays, a couple of birthdays that she had. Yeah, she's an individual personality. She likes to spend time on her own sometimes. Other times she likes to socialize. She loves rooting in the forest. I learned a lot about pigs at the pig preserve as well. It's not a sanctuary, it's a preserve, sort of like a wildlife preserve. The pigs are in a very natural setting. About 150 pigs on 100 acres in Tennessee, and it's run by Richard Hoyle, who is a former Marine and firefighter. And he only feeds them once a day in the evening, but so the rest of the time they're rooting and eating various types of grasses. Some pigs like some grasses, some other types of grasses. They have squash and berries. And he said they form their own group. So the pigs can form groups of 10 to 12. And once the groups get that large, they tend to break into smaller groups. And they are matriarchal at the pig preserve. They have mud baths. And each of them is individual. Mm. So they have their own personality. They have rituals. When someone dies, the pigs one by one go to the dead pig and pay the respects. So I've learned a lot about who pigs are by visiting sanctuaries and the pig preserve.
I think sanctuaries are wonderful places to get to know animals because they feel free in those situations to actually express their true personalities. Just want to move on to talk a little bit about the day that you were arrested and the subsequent trial. Are you happy to talk to us about that?
At a regular vigil in 2015, and the transport truck stopped at a red set of lights, and I saw the pigs in the truck with open mouths, panting and foaming at the mouth, and I said, let's give them water. And what was unusual is the truck driver jumped out of the cab and said, don't give them water. And I quoted the Bible loosely. I said, when I was thirsty, you gave me water. And he said, they're not human. And he said he'd call the police. And I said, call Jesus. And, you know, I didn't think he would call the police because it was what was happening was so obviously unjust to me. So I thought it was him that was in the wrong, clearly. And nothing happened that day. He just drove off. And before he drove off, we continued to give water, and we said, we're sorry, we love you, and did a video of the event because of the confrontation and the kinds of things that he said. And about 6 weeks later, a constable arrived at my home and issued me a summons, charging me with criminal mischief, interference with property being the pigs. I was really surprised by that. And we received amazing social media support right away. There were a couple of petitions that were circulated with hundreds of thousands of signatures. And then I had my pretrial in the fall of 2015. And at the first pretrial, all my anxiety vanished because there was like a courthouse vigil. And it was just nice to see all that support. So I never felt alone in fighting this charge. That's what's been surprising. It's been like a two-year legal process. But it wasn't a difficult experience for me because there was just so much community support. So it became a national media story and then international story once all the British papers picked it up. And then it spread from there. Then there was a five-day trial in August of 2016, last year, as well as October, November. And then finally the verdict was issued on May 4th of this year, and the judge acquitted me. But during the trial, my defense lawyers presented a very inclusive defense. They basically said that my actions were justified by the various motivations that we have as activists. So we're motivated by, obviously, animal rights, believing that these animals should not be going to slaughter. And so they had an expert witness, Dr. Lori Marino, talk about who pigs are. She said pigs are persons, not property.
Absolutely.
You know, they're sentient, they're self-aware, they have complex emotions, and they're autonomous. And then we also had an expert witness talk about the environmental issues. Dr. Tony Weiss said that animal agriculture is a leading cause of climate change and ocean dead zone deforestation and water pollution. And then my lawyers also called forth an expert witness on health, how pig flesh and bacon and processed meats are carcinogenic. And they brought in Dr. David Jenkins. He has like 5 degrees from Oxford University. He's a professor of nutrition at the University of Toronto. He invented the glycemic index, so he's highly respected, and he's vegan. And he talked about not only the fact that meat, dairy, and eggs contribute to heart disease and cancer and diabetes, but he also looked at the specific mechanisms of how that occurs. We also had an expert witness talk about how the pigs were suffering in the transport truck that day. The pigs were panting at 108 breaths per minute, how hot and thirsty they were.
I saw a video. Pigs were actually squealing, and some of them, as you say, were foaming at the mouth. It's quite obvious to anyone that those animals are suffering terribly. When I read about your acquittal, Mr. Bruce Kelly of Farm and Food Care summarised your case by saying it's essentially a misdemeanour about product tampering. There's still a lot to do, isn't there, to try and get people to realise that these are sentient beings and we shouldn't be doing it to them.
Yes, I think that the trial overall has raised a lot of awareness and it has put animal agriculture on trial. And the animal agriculture industry were trying to change the focus of the case by saying, you know, there was tampering with the water, but that clearly was not the case. And giving water to thirsty animals is the right thing to do, and we're all obligated to do that.
The case has generated a lot of good public discussion and raising critical awareness. Despite the stress that you've had to endure, it's had a very good outcome in that respect.
Yes, I think it's been incredible in terms of raising awareness. Giving water to a thirsty animal is something anyone can understand. And people understand this principle from thousands of years ago, across cultures. So it was a really good case to fight, and there was sympathy. You know, when I'm in a cab, I ask the driver, have you heard of this case? And more than 90% have heard of the case. So it became a very well-known case in Canada.
Yes.
and to some extent, yes, you know, around the world as well.
You're still offering water. You're still doing it.
Yes, we never stopped, including myself, even after I was charged. But even we continued to do that. It's interesting the way the charge was even brought towards me. There were some rumblings about, oh, don't give them water. Most people, like, they understand the golden rule, and it's impossible to fight the golden rule. If you do fight it, everyone knows that compassion is not a crime, and it's the law. It has to be changed. So no matter what, the outcome of the trial was, it wasn't going to stop people from giving water. And the first vigil after I was charged, people ran in front of me to give water. I thought, to give water to the thirsty pigs. I thought people would have been intimidated, but they weren't.
No. You've empowered a lot of people, I think. Anita, are Canadians eating less meat?
Yes. Overall, the trend is a reduction, and including dairy milk, and the shelf space for plant-based milk is growing and growing. So, yes.
And just for anything that we can do here in New Zealand or on social media to help your work?
I think the key is to start doing vigils at slaughterhouses in your community. And Claire McRae in New Zealand has set up a Facebook-like page, so I encourage people in New Zealand to join it. And their first vigil is planned in June outside an Auckland slaughterhouse. And they are Auckland Vegan Actions. It's an advocacy and activism group. And the hope is that local safe groups will emerge across New Zealand.
We've been running a few vigils down here in the Waikato outside some slaughterhouses. And Sandra's been one of our, is stalwart the right word here? She's been out there sometimes on her own, so she's shown tremendous courage, as have you. We haven't actually got up close to the trucks, have we, Sandra? We have, you have. It's a very difficult thing to do, so we have our utmost respect.
Your compassionate action has touched minds and hearts of people all over the world. Kindness will always touch people more than cruelty or indifference.
What's that wonderful saying, Sandra? You know, you light a match and the darkness disappears from that one light.
The one light. And it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness.
It's a wonderful, like, team effort, and I just feel like we are inspired by actions that people take around the world. And what I've noticed over the years is that our movement has grown because new people with love-based activism join us, and then we just adopt their new energy. So that it's really very much a team effort, and that's why we're growing together.
Where did you get the term bearing witness? Because it seems to me that that's the crux of it.
The idea of bearing witness is an old concept, and social movements throughout history have used it. So Martin Luther King said, "I'm in Birmingham because there's injustice here." And Tolstoy defined bearing witness as, when the suffering of another creature causes you to feel pain, don't succumb to the initial desire to flee from the suffering one, but on the contrary, come closer, as close as you can, and try to help. So he said we all have a duty not to look away when someone's suffering. And what we want to do through these vigils is change the societal norm, where people think it's okay currently to, like, look away if they, you know, if there's a slaughterhouse video or some, or if there's a slaughterhouse in your community, or there's a truck, transport trucks driving by, and say, oh, I can't look, it's too painful, I'll have an emotional breakdown, I don't want to know, you know, I already changed my food choices. So we want to change that to a new norm where people say, I want to know, I want to bear witness, I want to help. And it's based on the golden rule. And if you were in that truck, that's what you would want others to do. So that's one of our major goals, is for this idea of bearing witness to be popularized. We use love-based community organizing as a way to get more people to do it. And
did you say love-based?
Mm-hmm. Yes, love-based.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Tolstoy, Gandhi, and other King, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Lois Gibbs have used love-based community organizing, which means it's very inclusive, it's non-judgmental. You go into the movement to save, not to judge others, and you return love for hate. So when someone says, you know, get a life or whatever, you know, we just smile at them and wave and say have a good day. And it just shows that it's not us versus them. It's to invite everyone under this big tent, and we share this planet together. And, you know, Tolstoy said, when we wish to harm others, we really do evil to ourselves. And if we harm animals, we're harming the environment, we're going to ultimately destroy ourselves if we do that. In order for us to live on this planet with all the other creatures and to protect the life support systems, we need to treat others as we'd like to treat ourselves. Our very survival depends on it.
But what about people who say that they're just animals?
It's about raising awareness. I mean, we are animals. We're just one species of animals. If we act in an arrogant and harmful way, we're going to destroy our planet. So I think it's about raising awareness, and I think people are disconnected because they don't meet the animals firsthand. The advantage of vigils is that you get to meet the animals, see the pigs, see the cows, chickens, lambs, turkeys, rabbits going slaughter. And when you meet them firsthand, you connect with them. When you look into their eyes, you see their souls. They plead for their lives, and you want to help them. So I think it's our job to help people meet these animals and connect with them.
So
the only way you can harm them is if you don't know, if you're ignorant, or you haven't connected with animals, and you don't see the absolute injustice and the tragedy of what is happening. Mm.
So just to pick up on that point where you're talking about sanctuaries, and I think oftentimes that is something that can help people to overcome the intense sadness that they feel through bearing witness, is the ability or the place to go where they can interact with animals who have actually been rescued. Do you work in with any sanctuaries in Canada? Is that part of the Toronto Pig Save movement or not?
Yes, we have a number of sanctuaries in our area where some of our volunteers help out at. We have Wishing Well Sanctuary and Cedar Row, Happily Ever Esther, not too far from Toronto. And I think it's very important to have those relationships, as you said, as a way of healing and from all the sort of trauma that people suffer when they bear witness.
I think so. I think, you know, one of the joys of sanctuaries is that the animals really get to reveal their true personalities. And I was interested in your experience because we were thinking of having a bobby calf vigil this year. The season is closely coming upon us. The calves over here get slaughtered, most of them between the winter months of June, July, August and into September. So we aim to have a vigil during that time specifically to raise awareness of the issues of bobby calves. I have borne witness myself to baby calves being offloaded, and it's a very sad thing to see because these are mere babies and they've been separated from their mothers.
I'm just wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to say while we've got you here.
I think that it's important to bear witness, even if it's painful, because social change happens as a result of sacrifice and suffering. And if you love animals, then it's important to go to slaughterhouses and witness them. And these animals are pleading for their lives. They look at you and they want you to help them. And at the end of the day, it adds meaning to your life because you're making a change. Their stories need to be told.
Mm-hmm.
You need to invite other people to witness. You're changing the world, and I think that's really, really important. How else is the world going to change if we don't know the truth of what's happening to these animals? If they come to vigils and they bear witness, they're going to want to help and rescue these animals. So I think people need to change their views about sacrifice and suffering. And, you know, other social movements have done this before. Gandhi spoke about the importance of sacrifice in his Satyagraha movement, in the civil rights movement. People engage in collective action and actions that were often difficult, but at the end of the day, that's what it will take to change the world. What you do when you witness, it's so difficult what you're doing, but it's so important. You're their ally. So when they look at you, they have a friend. They have an ally who's going to help tell their story and try to help their brothers and sisters down in the future, so that there won't be this kind of injustice. You know, I invite everyone to go to vigil. We're all sensitive people. It's difficult for all of us.
I totally agree with you. We do need to change our perception of suffering. And, you know, Sandra and I are both incredibly sensitive, and yet both of us have put ourselves in that position where we do bear witness. So I hear what you're saying, and I think other vegans as well as non-vegans, you're saying both people should be bearing witness.
As animal lovers and as people that are aware of what's happening in slaughterhouses already, we have an extra obligation. You know, one of our targets is to encourage the millions of vegans to take that next step and to bear witness and then invite their family and friends. Because once you bear witness, it really changes you. It's not like any other form of activism. If you watch a film, that can change you. It changed me. It made me go vegan. But when I first bore witness, it made animal rights an absolute priority in my life. And I can imagine the work that you do, it changes your life. Like, you think about them a lot, and you do all you can to rectify the situation. So you put more of your time and resources into changing the situation.
Mm. It's been an honor talking with you, Anita, and may you continue to be the inspiration and example that you have been.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall.
I hope you enjoyed our interview with Anita Quines. I'll put some links up on our Facebook page, which is Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast, about Anita's Save movement. And if you think you'd like to join me in the weekly slaughterhouse vigil I hold of a Friday, then I'll post details about it on our page also. So let's now listen to more of the song sung here by Pete Seeger, We Shall Overcome. Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Someday.